Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. Welcome to the Clutter Fairy Weekly for December 8th, 2020. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, professional organizer and owner of The Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is our weekly webcast and podcast where we talk about all things organizing. And we use all of the comments that you make in our social media channels to pick our topics and hopefully answer questions that are a bother to you. So we appreciate that you do that.
If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail addresses them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let me know that you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video, and I will ask you to unmute yourself and we'll show your video if you're streaming video. We are streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can also share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. And during the webcast each Tuesday, you can talk to us by calling 669-900-6833. Use meeting ID 993-419-863 and password clutter to join the meeting. We're talking today about task management. Do you cringe when you look at or even think about your list of things to do? Does your list shame you for what you haven't accomplished instead of helping and motivating you to manage your time and tasks? It's easy to forget that the to-do list is supposed to work for you, not vice versa. Today, we'll explore sources of task management resistance. We'll talk about how to redesign your to-do list as a tool for success instead of a catalog of failures. Before we start, I want to provide some backstory and a disclaimer about our credentials as task management experts. Gail and I have both spent time in seminars presented by the David Allen Company, an organization that trains people to use David Allen's Getting Things Done system for task management. Getting Things Done, or GTD, as many people refer to it, as we will probably refer to it, is the title of David Allen's first book and the name of a popular system for organizing projects and tasks. If we mention GTD principles at any time in the course of talking about this topic today, the credit for those ideas belongs entirely to David Allen's books and seminars. Getting Things Done, I want to say a word about that, is an engaging and easy read. It's a really nice book that flows well, and I recommend it enthusiastically to anybody who's looking to start or renovate a system of task management. It's based on a few simple, powerful ideas. You have to get things out of your head. You have to build a system you can rely on and then rely on it faithfully. You can work more effectively by organizing your tasks according to contexts, by grouping related and interdependent ideas, items into projects, and so on. We have a link to where you can buy the book on our website at cfhou.com/GTD if you want to take a look at that. Finally, we want to apologize in advance if we mention any GTD ideas without giving them proper credit. I also want to apologize in advance if we oversimplify or mischaracterize any GTD concepts. It's been a few years since either one of us took a refresher course or read the book again, so please blame our faulty memories, not David Allen, for any mistakes we make.
So we're talking today about lists, and I'm going to start with a list of questions for you. Do you feel bad about yourself when you look at your to-do list? Do you crank away all day long doing stuff and find that your list is always longer at the end of the day than when it started? Are there items on your list that get carried over from one day to the next over and over again? You need to do them, but you don't know how to start, so they just stay on the list forever. Every time you look at your list, do you feel anxiety and pressure, a sense that you must get it all done? Do you find yourself starting and stopping using and managing your to-do lists? Do you begin to resent and avoid your list? Boy, I've done that a lot. To-do lists are supposed to be a helpful support that lets you feel in control of your day, not a source of shame and pressure and loathing. Today, I want to offer some suggestions that might help you become the master of your list again. So the first suggestion I'm going to make is, are you keeping your to-do list in your head and then forgetting half of it before you're out the door? If you don't have a system to manage your tasks, get one going. No one does a better job of managing life with only a floating list in their head. Your system can be as simple as a list of three things to do today on a scrap of paper, or it can be a full-blown getting things done system implemented in time and task management software. The goal is to give yourself some way, no matter how simple, to keep track of tasks. Nowadays, there's a million task management apps that you can use on your phone too. So when we originally covered this topic back in the day, that didn't exist. And boy, is that not true now. There's a million options for you, including a bullet journal. Object number two, item number two, don't be overly ambitious with the day's task list. So make realistic lists that match your energy level and allow time for your non-negotiable commitments for the day. What I mean by that is there's really no point in making a list for today with eight errands on it when you know you only have a two-hour window during which you can run errands. So why make the list an impossible accomplishment? Just work within the parameters that you have and make the list match the time that you have to give to it. Item number three. For those projects that are overwhelming in the time commitment that it will take to get them done, cultivate the habit of making incremental progress. And this is something that really Ed has taught me as well as we started working on my business back in the day. Making incremental progress towards big projects was a big revelation for me when he first started talking about that. And it really helps a lot.
So if you can't, tough one for a lot of people. It's, you know, you have the massive project and you feel like you have to make massive progress every day. And there's a saying, and I don't know who gets credit for it, about how people always overestimate the amount they can get done in a single day and underestimate the amount they can get done over time.
Yes, that is so true. And a lot of people sit around and they have the project in their head and they think, I've got to do my taxes and it's going to take 12 hours. So I'm waiting for that 12-hour window when I don't have anything else to do before I accomplish it. And yeah, that is not real. So if you're sitting around waiting for the perfect block of time to present itself for you to accomplish the task, you will wait forever. Or almost for forever, and making incremental progress is a much better way to go. So if you can't spend 4 hours at it in one sitting, so you resist sitting at all, commit to 15 minutes or 5 minutes of progress instead. And here's my example. If you're trying to get clothes to take to the resale store, you have to try them on, but you don't have to spend 4 hours trying on all the clothes that you want to go through to go to the resale store. You can spend 3 minutes a day trying on two or three things until you get your pile and then go to the resale store. Remember that the most talented artist has to accomplish 1,000 5-minute steps to complete a work of art. And, you know, going to the resale store may not be a work of art, but it is certainly something that will help your closet be thinner and help you recoup some money out of what you are giving away. So it's a worthy accomplishment. Here's number four. When you feel lost in the weeds on bigger projects, focus on the next actions. Taking the next step in a project is the definition of moving the project forward, even if the project isn't complete. To put it in terms of another popular metaphor, try not to think about the forest. Just look at the tree in front of you, hence the purple tree. I love the purple tree. Preparing the taxes is a project that nearly every adult has to do. But for some of us, the taxes are a complicated project that can't be done from start to finish in one day. So start with getting all the current tax year's papers together. Let that be the task for today's list. Try to accomplish that step and don't worry about the rest of the project today. And another way that this manifests is people know that they're aiming towards an end goal and they don't know in their head all the steps to get there. And so they sort of freeze about forward motion because they can't imagine the full path. But you can still be moving towards that goal even if you don't know all of the steps. If you know the next step, then you can take that step and hopefully as you add step 1, 2, 3, 4, as you move along that path, the next few steps will become clear in front of you, even if you don't know what all of the steps are going to be, right? I think that that one hangs people up a lot when they feel like they have a project, they don't know how to do it, they don't know what to do, and then they stop. And if that's you, ask yourself, do you know the first step that you have to take right now? Even if you don't know where it's going to end up, do you know the first step? Work on that. And maybe the first step is, I have to research how to do this, or I have to find out what other people do to make this happen. Like, maybe that step one is that you go find out what the steps are. I need to repair the dishwasher. I don't know how to repair the dishwasher. I can go look at YouTube videos about repairing the dishwasher. And that would be another step for you to take.
A lot of times, my project lists start with brainstorm a list of tasks that I will need to do to get X done.
Watch the Clutter Fairy. That's the next step.
There you go.
Yeah. And brainstorming the idea, don't let the fact that you don't know the full path when you start shut you down from taking incremental steps towards progress. It's a good thing. Okay. Number five, acknowledge the true value of your time. Some tasks cost you more in time and energy than they're worth. It might be a good idea, but if doing it uses more time and effort than you're ever going to be willing to give up, you'll never do it. So take it off the to-do list. The example I have here is, if you have a stack of articles printed to read someday and they're waiting to be organized and filed, consider whether it's worth your time to bother filing it at all. Might it be easier and take less time to find it again some other way? I have an example that I've saved forever. As well, I had a client who we were going through file cabinets and we came upon 5 years of her home electric bill. And I started asking her about them. Okay, so we're keeping these. What are we keeping for? What are we keeping these for? And she started telling me that she wanted to do a spreadsheet to chart how her electrical expense had changed over the 5 years to see whether she'd got a good deal or not. But she kept putting it off and not doing it. It seemed like a lot of stuff, seemed like a lot of work. And so she kept on her to-do list was the task, make the spreadsheet of my electrical cost for the past 5 years. So I started unpacking that a little bit. And the ultimate question I asked her was, so when you finish this spreadsheet and it proves to you that you could have gotten a better deal somewhere else, or that you didn't get the most perfect deal at the time, what is that going to do for you? You can't go back and change the electricity that you spent and paid 4 or 5 years ago. The fact that you, whatever you paid for electricity back then, has nothing to do with what the electric company is offering you now. So ultimately, if the spreadsheet comes out showing that you didn't get a great deal, all you've really done is spent a bunch of time to make a spreadsheet so that you feel bad about your choices 5 years ago. So why are we doing that? And she finally decided, oh yeah, that's probably not a good use of my time. So she was saving, 5 years of electric bills. So taking up 2 feet in her file cabinet. And she had this big to-do list item that was mocking her every day and making her feel bad because she wasn't doing it. And I basically said, yeah, complete waste of your time, not worth it. And at the end, the end result, even if you spend the time, is you're going to feel bad about yourself. So let's not go there. And we took the electric bills and put them in the shred pile, and we took the item off the to-do list, and the end, it was done. So it was an excellent example of, yeah, that spreadsheet is so not worth your time. And you have to evaluate your to-do list items with the same way. Everybody has, time that they don't want to give up, and it should be for something that is really important to you. All right, number six, for items that have lingered on your to-do list, reevaluate whether you actually ever want to do them or not, and delete some, which we did in my example of the spreadsheet. Maybe they feel like things you should do, and that's how they got on there. But honesty is the best policy. If you're never going to do them, then what's the point of leaving them on your to-do list to torture you? a lot of people put, I should go and evaluate and see how, what my deal was on the electric bill. But if it's never going to come to the top of your list, if you're never really actually going to do it, take it off the list. Don't let it sit there and, you know, torture you forever. There's no point. And by the time we'd taken it off the to-do list, I mean, it was a project that she started in year one of five. So it had been sitting on her to-do list, mocking her for 5 years. And that's long enough. I think we can let it go at that point. And I think she was very happy to let that burden fall off of her shoulders. Number seven is accept that your time is finite. You can't keep building a to-do list as if you're going to live 1,000 years. For some projects, that ship has sailed. Your commitments may preclude you from doing certain things. While you have kids in elementary school, maybe taking a dance class just isn't feasible. If you're getting a degree online while you work full time, you probably don't have time for a hobby. Decide if what you're keeping on the list forever can reasonably demand any of your attention right now. If not, take it off the list. It may come back on the list later in your life, or you may decide that I'm in a stage in my life where this is never going to be important to me again, and I need to let it go. But it's part of the evaluation process to go back over that list and go, yeah, I put it on here, but why is it still there? Knock it off.
Well, and that's the place where David Allen would recommend putting it on a someday maybe list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a key part of the someday maybe list is that it should be either stored separately from your day-to-day, week-to-week list, or it should certainly at least be way in the back of the binder, or, you know, of if you use one of those, the date book kind of organizer, your someday maybe list should be at the back where it's not bothering you every day. It's not making you feel guilty. It's just collecting those ideas you don't want to forget about, but you think someday.
In the future, it's not time sensitive right now. For whatever criteria, it doesn't have to be tackled right now.
Yeah. And I've kind of accepted that I'm probably never going to become an astronaut, so I went ahead and crossed that one off. What with having completely worthless vision and being about a foot taller than the average astronaut. So I went ahead and scratched that one off.
Well, and this is something that artists have to do a lot. Creative people, there's always a list of projects that they want to do, and there's never enough time to do them all. And so as I've talked about managing craft supplies, part of it is deciding that you're never going to go back to this project because you didn't like how it came out or you didn't like how it was going, and calling that done and sending it on to the next artist to work on is the crafty equivalent of what we're talking about here. Some projects were good when you were 30 and they're not good when you're 50. They were good when you had kids and they're not good when your kids are grown. There's reasons that it was a to-do item for a while and it never got done and now it doesn't matter anymore. And recognizing what those are and taking them off the list is, and you know, part of how you manage the list and make it not be mean to you anymore. Number eight, when our lists are full of tasks and projects that seemed important a week ago or a month ago or years ago, we don't have room for what serendipity brings us today. So a huge task list doesn't leave much room for you to react to what the universe sends you in the moment. Maybe you want to make a little space for what could be headed your way. Making that list be priority items and freeing up a little mental space might give you some room to receive something new and fabulous that you really didn't think about when the day started. And here is number nine. This is my favorite. Number nine is don't do stuff you suck at. And this is actually a title of a book by Jessica Butts. And she is a psychotherapist and a business coach. And she, in this book, she's giving advice about business owners and entrepreneurs not spending time doing things that are out of their wheelhouse, basically. She recommends passing those things to others who are good at it instead. Of course, the book is about much more than that. It's linked to personality types and living your best self, etc. But I'm using her advice to evaluate your to-do list. Are there things on it that you just don't have the skills for? Maybe you can't do it. Maybe you can do it, but it takes you five times as long as someone who's better at it than you. What items on your list can you ask a favor or pay someone else to handle for you? Maybe you can use TaskRabbit, the app called TaskRabbit, to find someone to run an errand or to come in and do a task. The idea here is to look over your list for any item you don't feel adequate doing, and then hire or give that task away. Of course, then your to-do item becomes following up to make sure that it gets done by them. But that's an easier task than doing something that you suck at. And I will say that Ed is the person that I handed off. He does my website stuff because I would infinitely suck at that. And sure, I could learn it, but it would take me, this is something, it would take me 30 times as long to do what he does brilliantly and quickly. And so it's worth it to me to let the master do it. And I don't have to learn something that I suck at. There you go. It is a perfect solution. I just gave somebody that advice. One of my virtual organizing clients, we were talking about her task list, and she's writing a book, and she was trying to proofread it, a last pass proofread, and she had a speech due, and she had another project she was supposed to be working on, and she was panicking because she didn't have time to get it all done. And she admitted to me that the proofreading part was super hard for her, and she hated it, and it was absolutely the worst. And I'm like, that sounds ripe for giving that task away. Like, you need to let that one go.
Yeah.
And let somebody else do that.
And you know who enjoys and is good at proofreading? Proofreaders.
They get paid to do that, right? Exactly. Which is what I recommended to her. And she immediately had somebody that she knew that she could send it off. And it was like, oh, thank God, I can take this chore that I think I have 20 hours of work to do yet. And I can take that off my plate and give it to somebody else so I can focus on the creative work that I need to do. And that was perfect solution. You can do this on your micro scale about, you know, do I bake cookies or do I go buy cookies? Like, you can do that on a really micro level. Find stuff that you don't do well and see if there's a way that you can trade or pay to let somebody else do it for you. You just put that little, you know, did you do it yet on your task list?
On that note, Lise said, no more cooking.
Right? There you go. See, I'm not the cook in the house either, baby. I suck at it, and I let somebody else do it that does it well.
Well, I frequently run into the situation as I'm working with clients who are brilliant people in the thing that they do for a living.
Right.
We sit down to talk about what they need in terms of marketing. They want a website, and they frequently say, and I want to be able to maintain it myself.
Like, why?
And early on, my response was, yeah, we can do that. I'll set that up. I'll train you how to do it. But now I sort of evaluate the client's skills and interests to the extent that they're willing to share that information with me so that I can say to them, do you want to be a professional organizer or do you want to design your website? Do you want to be a brilliant yoga instructor or do you want to work on your website? What's the thing that you are great at and enjoy doing? Wouldn't you rather spend all your time doing that and pay me to do the stuff that is not your expertise?
That you can do 50 times faster and in much better, more polished, perfect result.
Yeah. And that's not, you know, I'm not saying that as an ad for myself. I'm saying that as a...
It's your perfect example.
Everyone should think about the things that they do that they could delegate to someone else who does it better and enjoys it more.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. So these are just ideas to offer you a way to think differently about your list. Remember that you are the master of the to-do list and not vice versa. This list isn't to make you carry around a burden of guilt all the time. You're not trying to feel guilty. It's there to help you feel a sense of control. So think of it as a useful tool and build it in such a way that you get benefit from using it. So now it's your turn. What kind of problems do you have with your task management?
Great comment from Deborah. She says, I sometimes look at my list and ask myself, what would happen if I didn't? And quite often I realize that my to-do list is a should list, not a must list.
Yes, because it gets on there regardless of priority, right? And so you should do it, but should you do it in front of something else? And is there's probably a much shorter list of things that you must do in order to move your project forward, in order to meet your obligations, in order to, you know, solve an immediate problem. And that's a great way to look at it, Deborah. Thank you for sharing.
One of the things I like so much about getting things done is it separates the different stages of organizing your to-do lists into distinct parts, and instead of muddling it all together. So instead of getting an idea and saying, I should mow the lawn, and then trying to do all of the other steps, like put it on a list and prioritize it and say, I'm going to, you know, block it off on my calendar for Thursday at 1 p.m. You just put it in your system, put it in your inbox. And then at an appropriate time, when you're in the right mind frame to evaluate, you go down all of the ideas you've had and any fresh ones that have percolated up to the top of your mind, and spend some time just doing that, just that evaluation. Decide, I had this idea to do this thing. Does it still need to be done? Do I really care? Can someone else do it?
Can someone else mow the lawn?
Or as Deborah says, what would happen if I didn't? You know, I think
it'll just grow more.
Yeah. I think taking an appropriate amount of time to evaluate things you put on your list instead of just assuming that everything that ever makes it on the list was worth doing.
Is worth it. So yeah. That's a great point of view. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes you have a moment and you have a thought and you don't have to keep it forever. Maybe the thought was, you know, yeah, I thought maybe I should mow the lawn, and maybe no, maybe I'll let my yard guy mow the lawn instead. Exactly.
On the subject of not doing things you suck at, Michelle who's with us on Facebook said, I outsourced many tasks this year and it was wonderful. Tammy on Facebook said that she uses a list of what she got done instead of she creates a done list. And I sort of use a combination of a to-do list and a done list. Everything that goes on my to-do list, I write it in the past tense as if I've already done it. And so then when I check it off, it's in the appropriate tense. I know that I'm an obsessive compulsive writer, so that's a little bit goofy probably, but.
No, but it saves you from, because you record your to-dos and then you go keep a history of what you've done, it saves you from having to rewrite every sentence that you've ever put in your to-do list. Ed has a to-do list that would scare mere mortals. He has so many clients and so many things to do. His task list is like thousands of items. It's terrifying to look at it. It's so out of control. And, you know, somehow he manages to keep up with it and keep all his clients moving forward, which is amazing. So he, I think, is the master on that one.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not good at, though, and that is scheduling some time to regularly evaluate the list.
Yeah, you said that.
And review it and cut out the things that I'm never going to get to and learn from things. We're going to talk about that some more, but Anya says, I might have to not do things that I don't like doing at all and that drain my energy level. Interesting. And Elkie, who's
That's
watching on
idea.
Facebook, said she puts three things as the key things she wants to get done on a particular day. And I think that's a great number. I frequently do that myself. In the morning, as I'm evaluating the 1,000 things on the list, I decide, but also making sure that all the things you're doing on any given day are important, or all the key things, I should say. I mean, there are things you have to do that aren't that important, but they still have to get done.
Right.
You have to feed yourself. I mean, I guess that is important. But
I don't know. Not feeding myself might be a good thing at this point.
Well, me too. I think that if you're picking three things that are how you're going to decide, did I meet my goals for today? They shouldn't necessarily all be time sensitive. Maybe one of them is, well, like mm-hmm. for me right now, one of them is I want to write for 25 minutes every single day.
I see a great comment here. Susan W. says, I'm a great list maker. Apart from the to-do list, I've started keeping a decluttered done list. It has made me feel so much better. A great motivator when I'm feeling overwhelmed by what remains to be done. That's a great idea. Usually decluttering projects are so huge and it's so many hours in front of you to get from my house is a wreck to I'm happy with my house. There's a long path there. And as we roll along, you get something done and then you forget about it. As you turn around and look at the rest, it still needs to be complete. And so keeping track of what you've already done and watching that list get bigger and bigger and bigger would be a very good motivator. Clever of you to work that out. Good job.
Okay, I found the comment I was referring to. Okay. Abby said, I find that if I put quiet time and exercise first on my list, which I'm writing out just before bed, I am more likely to get them done and move on. I know I need to do them, but this way they are configured into how much time I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great
get addressed.
That's a great tip that's not on our list for today. If you're planning your day and there's one thing you absolutely do not want to miss doing, put it first. Or schedule it as the first thing you do at your best time of day. So if you're somebody who doesn't really get rolling until after three cups of coffee so your best moment is 11 in the morning, then the most important thing that you need to get done today should be what you do at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not talking a whole lot today about time management. That's a little bit separate from task management, but
yeah, but there's a component to time management in there.
Yeah.
We have a question in the chat here. What should I do if I find that I almost get the whole list or large task done, but never quite finish it? I don't know why I do it. So getting the whole list, almost getting the whole list done is sort of a standard state where, I mean, if you're managing a to-do list, basically you're going to have an ever-rolling, ever adding and subtracting things from the to-do list every day until you die, right? So the to-do list is never 100% complete. But if you're also asking that you get the large task almost done but never quite finish it, then you might want to ask yourself if this is the point where you get it to a certain point and then you lose interest in the project and completion becomes irritating to you. Without knowing the exact task and without having some conversations with you about it, I would want to know what's left to complete it. What is your feeling about the step that's left? The project version of like I'm thinking of beady crafty people who they do a project and they do all this work on the necklace and then the last thing is to put a clasp on. And they ignore it for 6 months and never put the clasp on. Like it's something that it seems like a easy and thoughtless task to do at the end in comparison to all the craft part that they do, all the creative work that they do to make the rest of the necklace happen. And so they sort of the project sort of languishes as unfinished for a long time because they don't want to do the little bit of finishing work at the end. I think that you have to sort of group the finishing work as a group of itself. Like you go do the last 10 minutes of all these five projects as a sitting. You sit down and go, okay, this is only going to take me 10 minutes, but I have seven things that are going to take me 10 minutes. So that I can sit down and do all these one after another and knock them out in an hour. And then you're committing to an hour's worth of work instead of 10 minutes worth of work. And somehow that feels more worthy of your time and attention. And I hope that helps answer the question. I think there's more there to be explored, but it is, you're not alone. Some people get demotivated at the very tail end of a project, and it's hard to circle back and finish.
And the context matters there too. It's the question of for whom or for what purpose are you doing this particular project? I sometimes find that I get stuck on a client project and can't figure out what to do next, and that's usually a clue to me that I didn't get enough clarity in the last conversation I had with the client. And so the next thing is talk to the client, honestly tell them I'm stuck and I don't know what to do next. Do you have an idea what I should do next? What are we missing? What have I forgotten? And so on. If it's something like a craft project, then you have to sort of look at what remains to be done and what is the source of my resistance?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think for creative types, the little tail end is not as much fun as the, you know, imagining the picture, the project, what is it going to look like? Here's all these cool techniques and things I'm going to do to cool beads I'm going to use, fill in the blank for your craft. There's always, you know, there's a lot of creative work that goes on. And then you get to the end and it's like, oh, I got to put a frame on it. Oh, I have to put a clasp. You know, that part doesn't seem as much fun. And so I think it's universally a crafter's problem that finishing it doesn't seem like entertainment, but it is how you get to your lovely finished piece and have something to show for all your work. I did see one comment where someone said, well, if you finish it, then you have to give it away and it's no longer yours. Like, well, if you're trying to make them to give them away, then yes.
Well, yes.
Do that. But, you know, part of it is that you don't have to give it away the minute you finish it. You can live with it for a while and hang around and look at it for a while and take some photos that, you can covet it and hold it for a little while before you release it in the wild. And hopefully in between that time, you've started the next project. And so you can shift your love to the next project and eventually let the other one go. That's so funny.
Sam on Facebook says, I have a master to-do list, which includes everything I should, could, or must do. Then I have two page per day, to be done and done instead. Eventually, all the important items on my master list either get done or fall off the list of interests.
That sounds like a good plan. Sounds like you're working it hard. I wish I was that good at it. I don't think that I am. I'm very good at prioritizing in the short term about what's the next most exact right thing that I need to do. What's the next priority? What moves the next, I can see the next step. And I'm also good, I think, at going, yeah, I don't know what all the steps are, but I can move forward. I'm working on, I've been assigned the task of replacing all of the NAPO Houston local board. I need to ask people to step in and volunteer their time to do, to be board members. And I'm not really sure how that's going to come out. I don't know who's going to be in all the seats, but I've started working on the project and every day I have another conversation and I move the needle a little bit closer towards done. And that really works for me. Every conversation I have, I feel like I have more data. I have a better picture of what's going on. I have a better idea of what the possibilities are. And when they first asked me to do the project, I was like, oh my God, that's going to be so hard to do. And now I feel like I've, you know, made some progress towards getting there. And so this is a definition of being happy with incremental results too. Like I always say that as people are decluttering, you don't want to wait until your house is fully complete before you start doing the happy dance. Like you can't save all of your self-worth and love for yourself about how much you've done. You can't save that till the end when it's 100% done. You have to be happy with yourself that you worked on it for 2 hours today and do the happy dance, right? And so this is the same kind of thing. It applies in this, whatever kind of task you're trying to do, giving yourself a pat on the back for moving one step forward is just as important as getting the 50 steps down the road to the end project, especially if you're finding it hard to face. If you manage to move the needle a little bit, this is a good thing, and go do the happy dance because it's worth it if you've made some steps forward.
Nancy says, I think I came into the world with a list in my tiny little fist. A kindred spirit.
I love that image, actually, of, you know.
And Marcy says, I wish there was a way that we could all chat after the meeting. We could support each other. And so this is a good time for an announcement that some might not be aware of. If you are with us in the Zoom meeting, after we stop the Facebook stream and stop recording the video that we're going to publish on YouTube, we stick around for a few minutes and chat with anyone who has the time to stick around. And we allow anyone to unmute themselves and pipe in if there's something they didn't get to say. So stick around for a few minutes after we wrap up the formal part of the meeting. And
you ask your question yourself.
Nicolette on Facebook asked, what if you do not have the money to let other people do what you are not good at? It cost me a lot of energy and time, so much that other things, fun things, didn't get done.
So then I guess, think you're in a trade position, right? Like, this is something where you check out your list of friends, you go to your church, your women's group, your, you know, what do you belong to? Who do you know? What's your network? And, you know, what could you do for them? What can they do for you? What could you trade? If it's not something that you can pay for, then see if you can trade services somehow, because everybody's good at something. And, you know, what you are fabulous at, somebody else sucks at, right? So you can, it may take a little bit longer to find the right person, but you can, just like you go and sell your furniture in various places, you can go on Facebook or YouTube or send an email to your friends and say, hey, I need help with this. Is there anybody that would be willing to help me? And what can I do for you in trade? Like, who wants to make me a meal and I will do, or you can do this and I'll make you food, or, you know, see if there's something that you can trade out. And get some help that way. And also, this is where people like do it as buddies. Like, when people go and declutter at each other's houses. And so they work, you know, one afternoon at this person's house, and they go work together another afternoon at another person's house. Like, you can spread that thought out to cover other kinds of tasks besides just your decluttering work, and see if doing it as a pair, as a team, gives you both something that you need.
Well, and even in a professional context, you can partner and trade. My sister, who does similar work to what I do, she's a little less technically savvy in some areas, but I also think she has a better creative eye than I do in a lot of areas. And so we will delegate little tasks to each other. And depending on what it is, sometimes we'll just trade hours, and sometimes money will change hands if there's, you know, sort of an asymmetry to it. Marcy says, I get overwhelmed when I think of what I have to do and end up wasting time and getting very little done.
That happens to a lot of people, which is why we were talking about focusing on the next right step. And Karen Fritz said something similar, which was, working on my dissertation, which was a huge project, I changed my goals to working X number of hours a day versus finishing the dissertation. That way I didn't spend a large amount of time thinking of all I had to do. I think that being in a more focused point of view about those tasks is putting that huge overwhelming in picture out of your mind and letting you focus on the next step you're taking with your left foot, right? And that's a way to get in motion when the full blown picture is so overwhelming that you shut down. And this is what the people that call me and use me for their services are always in that place. They're looking around at their house. They're like, what happened in here? And everywhere they look, it's overwhelming. Everywhere they look, it's too big. And they are panicking about, I can't possibly, this is 1,000 hours. I will never get this done. I'm going to die. And they shut down. If they call me, I can come in and look at the house and go, yes, this is, you know, 47 appointments. we're going to do this 3 hours at a time. I think this is the priority. This is the best place to start. And, you know, I can come in and start walking down that path because I know the basic steps of every organizing project. And so it's not a problem for me. It's not overwhelming to me. And I can look at it and go, yeah, yeah, I'm going to be here a while, but let's get started. And I'll walk over and start on something. And I find that a lot of times I'm just serving as the reminder that, yes, this is not rocket science. Decluttering is not rocket science. It's just a labor. It's just a labor and some evaluation and some decision-making that people find overwhelming to do. And if I go over and start picking up stuff and sorting through it, then usually the client can come along with me and join in and participate. And I'm going to turn around and start asking questions. Do you want this? Do you not want this? And we start doing the fine level work of let's go through the stuff and see what's staying and what's going. And a lot of times the biggest stumbling block is just getting over the initial, oh my God, the project is so big response and getting yourself rolling down the track towards the goal. And I do that with my clients all day long. And you can do it too about your own decluttering project or any other task that you're trying to manage. Yes, the end project is a lofty goal and it has a lot of steps, but then, you know, then you say things to yourself like, yeah, any good goal is difficult to reach. You know, it's not as rewarding if it's easy to get to it. And then you just start taking one step at a time and not holding the whole picture in your head and changing, like she talked about her dissertation, instead of saying, I need to write a dissertation and holding that whole thought in her head, she said, I need to spend 3 hours a day working on this dissertation. And her goal was spending 3 hours a day. And so every day that she spent 3 hours a day, she was moving it forward and she was accomplishing a to-do list item, which was work 3 hours on my dissertation today. And so she got a win every day that she spent the 3 hours, right? And that is so much more reinforcing than I've spent so many hours and I still have 537 hours to go. Like if you compare what you've done against what's left to be done all the time, you will be constantly feeling bad and not being proud of what you've done and not staying in motion. It will work to shut you down. And so better to be focused on the next right step, whatever it is, towards the goal. And you can, like Ed had said earlier, you can spend 15 minutes thinking about the ultimate goal and what you're aiming for and what you would like. I want to write a book. Oh my God, that's overwhelming. Okay. And you can have that goal as an ultimate goal and you can not know what the 37 steps are to get there, but you can probably figure out the first two or three and you can do those. And today's to-do list is spend 15 minutes writing on the book or make an outline of the book or call my friend about the book or do some research, you know, whatever you want your first steps to be and work on those and then be glad that you accomplished them. And that is still moving the needle forward. And it's a much more positive way than constantly comparing what you've done against all that's left to be done. That's designed to make you feel bad. And so shift your point of view. You're still doing the 1,000 steps. You're still going to do them one step at a time. You're still going to do them in a logical order, but you can make yourself enjoy the experience better if you reframe how you think about it and look at it. Does that make sense?
Yes. One more comment and then we have to move on.
Okay.
This is a great one though. This is important. Kathleen says, sometimes you have to have a daily list and a weekly, monthly list. I totally agree. And that's a getting things done concept too. There's sort of a weekly process. And depending on what you do and what your goals are, you might also have monthly goals, quarterly goals, annual or longer term goals. And if you only have daily to-do lists, you get a little too down in the weeds. So from time to time, you have to sort of step back, get a broader perspective, a longer term perspective. So
and it becomes a daily to-do list, right? It becomes a daily thing to look at. What are you trying to accomplish for the week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need every day to think about your goal for the year, but you do need to return to it from time to time. A couple quick announcements, and then I'm going to ask for your final thoughts.
Okay.
And I want to remind those who are with us live that we have a YouTube channel with more than 100 videos on lots and lots of organizing topics. Go to cfhou.com/YouTube, subscribe to our channel, and then click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notified whenever we post something new. We will meet again next week, Tuesday, December 15th at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. We're going to be talking about planning and goal setting. We're going to talk about how to get your 2021 organizing projects off to a good and well-planned start. Then we're going to take 2 weeks off, and we'll be back the first Tuesday in January to start the next year's program.
To start a better year, we hope, than 2020 has been.
Yes. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to cfhou.com/Facebook or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. And as long as I'm giving URLs, I'll repeat cfhou.com/GTD, where you can find a little bit more information about the Getting Things Done book. Okay, Gail, final thoughts on this topic.
To-do lists are basic task management tools that help you get necessary things done on time. But in a broader sense, they are lists of steps you're taking towards creating your life. Instead of thinking of your to-do list is there to mock you or give you anxiety attacks, think of it as supporting you in achieving your goals. You can save those lists as records of the steps you're taking to move towards your dreams and goals in life. Use them to manage your tasks day to day, but also take time to look back and celebrate your victories. Completed things are water under the bridge, but moving water is a powerful sculptor. Take time to look back and learn from your missteps. What did you try to execute that didn't work out? You can learn from each stumble to change how you do things in the future. Take time to look forward, to think about how next week can be better than this week. Each day is a new day, and next week can be the week that you adjust your thinking and get rewarded by accomplishing a ton. Take time to look forward to make sure that you're moving towards your larger goals. We're always trying to help you build the life that you want to have. It's part of that plan to help you see your to-dos in the bigger picture of your great life. That's my final thought.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We love to hear from you, so please keep the questions and topic suggestions coming in the YouTube comments, on Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
There you go. We're so happy that you came. And I want to say one more time, we forget to mention about Patreon, cfhou.com/Patreon, if you would like to help support us in the work that we do. This is we do this every week, and we do it from our own businesses. So anything that you want to do to help us would be awesome. And we will see you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.